Welcome. This is Dr. Sophie. This is my podcast today, and today we're going to discuss a lot of very interesting tidbits around children. But I want to pose a question to you today. Do you ever sit around and eat dinner with your children, or be on a walk, or going somewhere, shopping, whatever, or even driving them in carpool or with their friends in the backseat and listening to them talk? And they say something that has been done to them by another child at school or somewhere in the, on the playground or at their basketball game or somewhere. And it just doesn't sit right with you. And you're saying to yourself, why didn't my child ever tell me about that? Oftentimes the first time you're hearing something like that. Or, wow, I wonder if he did anything back to protect himself. Or did someone help him and intervene? All of those things that you're feeling and all of those things that you're thinking while you're hearing this from your child or hearing your child tell somebody else are the things that you need to be doing something about right then and there. So today's podcast is going to give you the tools to be able to handle those situations, see those red flags, and be more proactive against school and bullying and child violence. And I invite all of my listeners today to please call in with your thoughts, with your questions, with your needs. We have a new 800 number. It's 1-855-SOPHIE-NOW, 1-855-767-4966, 1-855-SOPHIE-NOW. And anybody calling in gets a free signed copy of my book, Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Conflict Resolution. All right, let's go to the phones and talk about some of that school violence. Hi, it's Dr. Sophie.
Hi, Dr. Sophie. My name is Nancy, and I have a question regarding my daughter, who is a teenager.
Okay.
At school. She last year had a pretty tough year with her class. She was in an all-girls school, and she was bullied. My question to you is, at what point is the school to get involved with that? She would come home, my husband and I would have a discussion with her, talk about what happened. She knew the girls who were doing these things to her. And so we at one point did go to the school, did talk to the head of the school, but yet nothing happened. None of the kids were held responsible. They weren't brought into the principal's office. No, there was no sort of anything like staying after school, these girls, or being talked to. They were just not held responsible for their actions. And that sends a message to my child saying, you are not important. You are not safe here. We're not going to protect you.
Okay.
And that was a really very difficult time for her, for us, because we obviously want her to feel as though she can walk into school and feel safe.
Right, right. Okay. I mean, is this the first kind of episode that she has experienced or you as a family have experienced of this kind of stuff?
No, this actually was the second year that this had been done with the kids that she went to school with. And she had been in school with them since she was in kindergarten. That was 6th and 7th grade. Thankfully, we were able to get her out of the school for a new experience in 9th grade and for her high school years. But that's something that will stay with her for I would think forever.
Well, looking back on it, do you see any red flags that you saw a long time ago or you saw before these episodes, maybe hearing things or seeing things either at home or out in her life, school, activities outside of school, where you thought that things didn't seem right or you didn't feel she was being treated or she wasn't handling things right or some way there was an interaction that didn't sit well with you?
Well, she was outside of school at birthday parties or gatherings. She always seemed to be a bit more sensitive than some of the other girls. But as far as I could tell, that she was just sort of behaving the way every other kid was behaving. All having said that, we have tried to bring up both our children to be respectful and take responsibility for their actions.
Right. Okay. But do you see, though, one of the points for today, talking about school violence, is there's always somebody who is upside down within themselves for whatever reason. Either they're having their own family problems or whatever, but they're looking for that target. And that target is usually the type of kid that sounds like your child, who is much more sensitive, a little bit laid back, and maybe takes a little bit of stuff from people. And they're targets for those kind of people. And that's the kind of red flag that you need to see in your own child, which is our point today, to really be able to look at your own child and know yourself and how you think and how you feel when you're hearing these instances with your child or their day-to-day activity, and to be able to see that those are the things that somebody that wants to bully is going to go for, and then to empower your child to understand those things about themselves and get them the help that maybe they need or whatever, to be able to strengthen themselves so that they are not that target. That doesn't mean that your child is wrong, or that doesn't mean your child is broken. It just means that those are red flags to see ahead of time so that your child isn't a target. And then then you don't have them dealing with aftermaths and things that stay with them, or having to even move a school. Because, you know, those are all traumatic things for a kid. But at the end of the day, it's empowering yourself and your child to know yourselves better and see the red flags as they're coming, which is why we want to talk about it today. Because on the other side is that bully who had a lot of red flags early on, but somebody was missing those as well.
Right. But as a follow-up question, do you feel it's important for the school to take a stance with these kids that are the bullies?
Absolutely. I definitely think that every school, even if it's not happening in their school, which is ridiculous, it happens in every school because it's just part of life with kids and people, they need to take an active role in being able to be proactive, educate parents about the kinds of things we're talking today about red flags, and then educate the kids, because they're two separate discussions, and they're different discussions on even the levels of the children between the bully and the bullier and the perpetrator and the victim, all of those things. So being proactive, and I think that's the role of the schools and the community, to be able to get in there before there is a problem, and then when there is a problem, to really be on it so that everyone knows everyone's connected. So yes, I think they have a responsibility.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Right, bye. So again, today we're discussing school violence. We're talking about that feeling you get when you've heard your child talking about an instance that has happened to them at school, on the soccer field, at Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, wherever they're at, and it just doesn't sit well with you. And you say to yourself, that doesn't feel right, or, I wonder why that's happening, or the things that you maybe sometimes say to yourself. Maybe that's just part of growing up and being a kid. But at the end of the day, those things are not okay. They're violations of your child by someone else. They're violations of your family. And they have long-lasting effects. And if you don't jump on them, they build. So I want to talk today about some of these red flags and the things that you could have done, should have done, and now today you're going to learn better ways to do it and more understandings of those thoughts and those feelings that you get when your child is talking about things that have happened to them from a violent bully perspective. Now, let's talk about also that violence and bullying doesn't have to be something that is a slap or a trip or a hit or whatever. It could be a verbal bashing. It could be talking in a bad way to your child. It could be gathering kids around to bully your child as a group and make them feel left out, all different ways that hurt children. And children do these things to each other. Yes, that's part of growing up, but there's a boundary to that. And when it starts to hurt someone and it's consistent and there seems to be a focus to it, that's that red flag that you need to take a look at and grab it so that you're able to say, we got to put a stop to this. You're able to show your child you're protecting them. You're able to educate yourself and your family and your child. And you're also able to reach in and get the community connected. And you're also going to identify that child who's bullying to hopefully get them some help and their family. Because if we don't do it all the way around, it only comes back again to haunt us. Let's talk about some of the statistics. It's a little mind-boggling oftentimes, but parents will say to me, well, you know, does this happen a lot? And, you know, is it older kids? Is it only girls? There's a certain age when girls start getting really hormonal and they get in each other's face. They're territorial. Is that what we're talking about when we say bullying? You know what? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about all kinds of things, things that may seem subtle, which is what we're talking about, really. Those subtleties, those innuendos, those little acts of meanness that really take your child back and bring them down. And then you have a hard time bringing them back up. And those things over time really work down someone's self-esteem. They work down someone's belief in themselves. They get angry. And guess what? When somebody's angry and they don't feel comfortable to express that anger, it's going to blow up somewhere else. And literally, as we've seen over time, things can blow up. We have children who are bombing schools. We have children who are stabbing kids at school. We have all kinds of violent acts happening because these kids who are doing them have been bubbling and boiling for a long time and no one saw it. And that's my concern, that we're not catching this stuff early on, and then we're not even catching it when it's more obvious. We're either getting scared by it, we're denying it, or it's just so part of our family culture to act that way that it's okay. But it's not okay, because then it spills out and then someone gets hurt, or in some of these cases, in these school shootings and bombings, a lot of people get hurt. So, you know, we're talking about red flags today. We're talking about how to be able to see that, jump on them, and really identify your thought and your feeling when you hear your child either being bullied or bullying somebody else. Because that's the other side of this equation. It's not okay to hear your child being able to put down somebody else or bully them, because that's as much of a red flag as hearing it being done to your child. So on both ends of the spectrum, let's really take a look at this and be able to see this stuff before it happens. Again, 1-855-SOPHIE-NOW or 1-855-767-4966. All callers get a free signed copy of my book, Side by Side, Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Conflict Resolution Book. We're happy to send it to you. So let's talk a little bit about some recent statistics. There have been a lot of different scales and different ways to measure this. But the biggest thing are the numbers of the kids that are either victims of being bullied or victims of bullying themselves. So they're either the bully or the bullier. And it's really, really staggering, some of these results. And in 2008, among students between the ages of 12 and 18, there were about 1.2 million victims of non-fatal crimes at school. You guys, that's a really high number of kids. And yes, we have a big world. And yes, that doesn't seem like it's a lot, but it is a lot, because that means there are 1.2 million victims who are now dealing with a lot of issues and a lot of problems that have been the aftermath of those kinds of violent outbursts. Including in those outbursts and those crimes, over 600,000 of them were violent crimes, simple assault to serious violent crime and serious assault. These are problems. These are kids who are acting out on other kids. The things that are happening to them somewhere along the line in their own home, or something that was done to them, and they are now becoming perpetrators after they've been a victim. So we've got to take a look at this stuff. Red flags. When you get that feeling in your stomach, or when you hear your child talking, or you just see something happening to your child, and you think, that doesn't seem right, doesn't feel right, please take a look at it. Think about it. Feel about it. Put your thought with your feeling and move forward and take some action and protect your child, protect the community, and get the help that's needed for everybody so that the situation is brought to the awareness of everyone so that we can jump on it. We don't want to sit back and watch this stuff happen and then in hindsight say, you know, he was really an angry child. All right, let's go to the phones and take some more calls. Kim?
Yes?
Hey, it's Dr. Sophie. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How can I help you?
I was just listening to what you had to say, and my son just started kindergarten, and I've, you know, heard about all the school shootings and stabbings and all the violence that can happen and has happened in schools, and I just wondered, is it too soon to prepare my son, or is there a good time to start talking to him about these types of things? I mean, I already see some behaviors in kids as young as his age that I feel are not appropriate.
Absolutely. That's a really great question. It's never too early to educate our children. It's really never too early to be able to bring awareness. It's just that it needs to be age appropriate. And those things for someone in kindergarten, the biggest issue is to be able to let them know we don't keep secrets, letting them know about touching and stranger danger and all those kinds of things so that they're aware that there's a world out there that may not be the nicest and that they have to be aware and that you watch with them. At the same point, you're looking around at who they hang out with all day in school, and you're looking at how they interact with kids at school and get feedback from your teacher. When you're not there, you need to know what goes on that school, in the school room, on the playground, all those kinds of things, because then you're able to get an idea of how your child functions when you're watching and when you're not watching.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what's going to guide you about the discussions, because at this point, it's really talking about, you know, an open dialogue with your child, really being able to see red flags, because that's today we're talking about people who listen to their children being bullied or in an interaction that they know in their gut doesn't seem right, but they don't do anything about. So if you do get yourself into that situation, my plea to you is act on that. Address it.
Oh, I definitely will.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't try to push it off and say, that kid's, he's got problems at home and I'm not going to have my child around him anymore. Because, yes, that may be the fix right now, but that's not helping your child for the next time it may happen. And it's also not helping you understand what it is about your child that maybe they're being picked on.
Right.
So it's a full circle thing, but the initial discussions are really no secrets, stranger danger, those kinds of things, and kind of keep your eyes open and get reports from school and just know your child and know yourself and how you think and how you feel about most of the stuff that goes on in their life.
Good idea. Thanks for your advice.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
So today we're talking about school violence, red flags. How do we get our children on board? How do we get our parents on board to be able to really think and really feel about what's happening and to be proactive about it and to see these red flags that are coming up? Red flags are the same for adults as they are for children, but they are a red flag nonetheless, and they are telling us at the very least that somebody is having a hard time in their life and they're not dealing with something inside. And what that something inside is not really for a parent or the other parent or the school to necessarily find out, but it is the responsibility of all of us to see that that child is struggling by the behavior that they're showing and that we need to connect them to something. And if parents aren't really connecting to that whole process, then we need to move on forward to other kinds of ways to reach that child, that family. But at the end of the day, please don't turn your back on this stuff, because it does brew, it does grow. And we see that in all of the shootings and all of the stabbings and all of the school violence that we see on an everyday basis. So it's a tough situation, but guess what? It's you knowing yourself. It's you knowing your child. It's you knowing how you think and knowing how you feel and being able to be proactive, not ignoring, not going into a state of denial and not wanting to deal with things that may be difficult, uncomfortable, or even painful sometimes when they have to do with our children. Again, we're taking callers. Please, 1-855-SOPHIE-NOW or 1-855-767-4966. Talking about topics. We're talking about anything you want to talk about. Leave a message. We'll call you back. Gives us our ideas for our next shows. Things that you need to hear about. Things that you want to hear more about. But we really are here to talk about how to live life, how to connect your head, how to connect your heart, how to reach to resources when needed, how to be proactive and make life have a better quality outcome so that we're not stuck in situations that we don't know how to get out of, then we get frustrated and we act out. And act out is not always a good thing. All right, let's go to the phones. I think we have our next caller, Sarah.
Hi, Dr. Sophie.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm calling in regards to my mom. She is an elementary school teacher. And this year she has a few new students, and one of them happens to be a young boy from the Middle East. And she had expressed to me that this young boy seems to be, persuading another young boy in the class to gang up on a few of the young girls. And, you know, my mom has tried to just discipline him, you know, like, that's not acceptable, you know, you can't be that rough necessarily with, anyone, let alone, a girl. You know, she's trying to explain to him, you know, that that's just not acceptable. And she's gone to her principal about it, and he suggested that she just have patience because of the cultural differences. But my mom expressed to me the other day that it seems to be escalating, and she's not really sure on how to address it without offending, the young boy or his family. She just doesn't really know where to go with it, and like the principal, doesn't seem to be much help. Is there any advice that you may have for her, or how
yeah.
she could maybe
yeah.
deal with something like this? Because she's kind of afraid that, he might eventually end up hitting this
right.
this one particular
right.
girl.
No, I get it. I mean, I see a lot of that stuff, but the issue is, I guess, your mom's feeling that maybe this is somewhat a cultural thing.
Right.
And so it's a difficult situation because as people acculturate to the United States, it's a different way of living sometimes. And maybe oftentimes what I've seen in my practice and in all of that I do is that children sometimes assimilate to the American way much easier and quicker than their parents who maybe not were born here or have it
right.
much more ingrained. And so it's a delicate situation, but it does mm-hmm. need to be addressed because it is the way that child will deal with women or deal with people or find
right.
someone who is of lesser power in his eyes and take advantage.
Right.
So it does need to be addressed and it does need to be respectful, but it has to be done. So, if the child isn't responding to behavioral cues in the direction that's being done within the school parameter, then there does need to be a family meeting with the school supporting your mom to be able
right.
to say, this behavior is not okay here. And what
right.
is done in their culture and their home hopefully will translate from what's done at school, and they will start to see that it needs to be a continuation of that behavior throughout this child's life and maybe a different way of living for a lot of people in that home. But at the end
right.
of the day, it's our job when they're under our roof at school or wherever they're at to be able to show them how to be respectful to others and what that means, because otherwise you can't function in this society. And that's the part of the bullying and the red flags. And I think the earlier we catch it, that's the point. We can't ignore this kind of stuff and just say, that's just the way he is, or it's
right.
just an accepted norm. We can't do that anymore, because these children are bubbling up over years with this behavior. They get perceived power and they exercise that power on people who they prey on that may not even be aware of it.
Right, exactly. And, my mom was saying that this girl doesn't really defend herself, or she kind of doesn't really know
right.
how to react
right.
to it. And this young boy doesn't seem to have much respect for my mother, and she's not certain if this is because she's a woman or if this boy has problems with authority.
Right.
So she's just kind of,
right.
frustrated.
Yeah, and whatever it is, it's not really her job to figure it out, but it is her job to keep her classroom safe and to be able to give him the parameters
exactly.
so that he's successful in his day. And that's the place your mom should come from, talking with the family, talking with the principal. We want to make this kid have a successful day, because at the end of the day, even though he may be acting this way, he does not feel good after it.
Exactly.
And that's the place to come from. It's safer.
I see. So maybe not address the aggression necessarily, but just focus on him having a successful day and,
right.
Functioning
right.
in this
right.
type
right.
of society.
Right, because guess what? His successful day doesn't end at 3 o'clock. His successful day ends when he goes to bed. So it will be up
right.
to them to really want to ensure a successful day from morning to night, and then that translates over, and then nobody's really offended, and the behavior really does get addressed.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Dr. Sophie.
Thank you.
I think that's a great plan of attack.
Thank you.
Excuse the expression, but, it's like...
I appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate your help.
Take care.
You too.
So again, we're sitting here, we're talking about school violence, we're talking about those subtle red flags, we're talking about the uncomfortable situations that you see yourself sitting in, feeling not good about what you just heard your child went through, or the interaction that went on between your child and someone else. And at the end of the day, it's like, ugh, what do I do? But what you do is you listen to yourself. You listen to what you're feeling, and you pay attention to what you are thinking, and you connect that combination and make a balance of your response from your thought and your feeling, and act on that and be able to do it in a respectful way, but not allow behaviors to go on that are going to be dangerous for other children. Some of the surveys that I've been reading lately and that I've done research for are really, really scary things. And one of the survey numbers that was striking to me was during the school year of 2007-08, there were over 1,700 homicides among school-aged children 5 to 18 years of age. That's a lot, and most of them were school-related. They were someone they knew in school, or it happened in school. And those things are the culmination of behaviors that are allowed to grow. And today we're talking about how to nip that in the bud, looking at red flags, and listening to your gut when you're feeling that your child is in a situation that isn't safe. All right, let's take another call. Tom?
Hi, Dr. Sophie. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
Sure. Here's the situation. I have a 11-year-old son, and football season has started up this fall. And I was at one of his games the other day, and on the other team, on the opposing team, there was a player who was much smaller than the other players and was not nearly as strong and, frankly, was not nearly as good. And there was a key play in the game, and this slight player really fumbled the situation and cost his team the play, which may indeed have cost his team the game. But the reason I'm calling is once that play was over and the other team went back to the sidelines, I saw some of the other players really abusing this young boy verbally, and you could see him, you know, shrinking from their comments. And ultimately, he walked away and kind of stood there by himself, looked like he was fighting back tears, and he was completely ostracized from the team. And it was very, very disturbing to see. It wasn't my son's team. It was another school, and I don't know the parents. I don't even know the little boy. But it was tough to watch, and I don't know what I might be able to do in those situations.
Well,
I should do.
That's a great example. Thanks for calling. But the issue is it's very difficult to ever watch that kind of stuff when you see someone who's got no power or they think they have no power being really piled on. And especially when it's not a situation that you're directly connected to where you could get involved and speak up. But you do still have to speak up because it is your responsibility from watching that and interacting and knowing that that child is being abused on some level and being bullied. So the better plan of attack is really to go to your coach, who can go to their coach and say, you know, this is a situation, it was brought to our attention, or however they want to do it. But that's the better way to go first to see if it's ever been dealt with. And if it hasn't, then maybe it starts the dialogue going on that that coach really should have control of his team and his players so that they're not doing that to each other. But obviously, something's not correct on that team where they're watching either role modeling happening or they're just being allowed to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, I didn't see anyone step in at all. And I kind of have a soft spot for the underdogs. And I realize that at this level, it's really not about winning the game. It's about learning sports skills and teamwork and the like. And you see this little boy who I doubt he has a future in football, but he's learning all sorts of bad things from his teammates, and he's kind of getting squished. I'm sure he's very demoralized, maybe even outside of football because of
right.
this.
Right, and that's the concern. You want to really pull attention to this because it's probably going on off the field as well, but the concern is where is that child's anger and sadness going? You see him shrink away, but is he at home? Is he in 5 years going to make a bomb? Is he thinking of ways to get back at people that they won't know about it, but he can get his anger back? Those are the red flags that we're talking about today. What do parents need to do to be able to see these things that can start out as a little seedling that grow into an actual bomb? And we need to be able to address them as a community, as parents, as coaches, as teachers. So
yeah, I couldn't
you.
Agree more. So it sounds like this is a coach-to-coach situation
right.
for now.
Right, for now.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well,
I'll
gladly place that call and hope that something good comes from all of
Thank
this.
You. Absolutely. You'll be saving some kid's life.
Okay. You're
Thank
very
you.
Welcome.
Bye. All right, let's go to the phones again. I think we have Erica on the phone.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, it's Dr. Sophie. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling in.
I've never done something like this before, so I figured I'd give it a try.
Thank you.
Basically, I think that with regarding school violence, I'm about 30 now. I did a lot of things in high school where I guess I would have been considered the mean person.
Right.
A lot of things that I regret, and I really have tried over the years to kind of make up for. And I guess, you know, I see these things in the news all the time, and it breaks my heart about, you know, bullying in school and things like that. And I guess I just kind of want to see, like, how I could get involved to kind of, you know, for my personal reasons, just to kind of clear my own conscience.
Right.
You know, what kind of ways are there to get involved for someone like me?
Well, I'm glad you're asking that, but I want to ask you another question. What do you think was driving you to be that mean person back then?
What's that? I'm sorry, you just broke out a little bit.
What do you think was the driver of your behavior back then to be mean, as you say?
It was insecurity, I think, for sure. I kind of just did what, I guess I was a little angrier back then and insecure, and I just wanted to kind of...
Lash out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Lash out and kind of prove that, you know, don't mess with me. And
Right, but where were your parents involved in that, and why wasn't that being contained is the issue. You don't need to answer that. But in general, that's what we're trying to wake up people to, seeing those red flags as either somebody bringing it to the attention of your parents or your parents being aware of it enough to contain it and address it. But nonetheless, there are people who are victims of that lashing out, and there are people who don't feel good even when you're lashing out. I'm sure you didn't feel good about it after it happened, even though you felt
absolutely not.
You feel victorious at that point, and then 10 minutes later you feel like crap because you sat there and you just demoralized somebody. So
exactly.
The best way to get involved is to really go, if you have children, get involved in school. But if not, there are Boys and Girls Clubs. There's the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. Those are the places where a lot of this stuff happens if you're not directly connected to school activities through your own children. And those are the places where you can go in and you can volunteer. And by volunteering, you will see interactions between children that you can extinguish, you could bring attention to, you could give them coping skills that are going to be life-saving for them. And you will also see situations that you may need to bring to the attention of someone who's in charge there to be able to address it on a higher and deeper level.
Okay.
But I think it's great that you want to go back in time and heal yourself and get through it and really have the ability to go and dig deep and see that that behavior you were doing before was motivated by certain things and you've addressed them, and now you're able to empower yourself to help other kids.
Right.
So go for it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I've always wanted to get involved, and I guess I just kind of thought that it'd be a good time to talk about it now.
Yep, absolutely. I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Very interesting call. Someone who has bullied in the past. She was the mean girl. Interesting that she admits it. She also knows what created it, what caused it, and how she addressed it. And now she wants to go and help others and be able to identify this stuff early. So I think it's great. We're talking about school violence, early red flags, what parents should be doing, what parents should be paying attention to. And it's subtle things. It's sleep changes. It's hearing your child say something that you know doesn't sound right, that was done to them or they've said to somebody else. Addressing those little things are going to really save us further down the road as a community, as a school, and as a nation. All right, let's go to the phones. I think we have Michelle. Michelle, Dr. Sophie here. How can I help you?
Hey, Dr. Sophie. I heard that you were talking about, you know, red flags and identifying these kind of things. And
yes, and school violence.
I went to Virginia Tech prior to the shootings that occurred there a few years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, I think that this, you know, there's like 30,000 people on the campus, and it's an extremely peaceful place and just calm and not the type of place you would expect something like that to happen.
Right.
And to me, it seems like the problem is that, you know, some people are just absolutely crazy and there's nothing you can do about it, but then something like that can happen. So
right.
I was just wondering how you would think somebody could identify those red flags for something like that to happen.
Well, you know,
what you can do if you're in that kind of a situation.
Well, I think it's really a great question because that's obviously what we're talking about today. It's seeing those red flags. And if this child and the man who did this act at Virginia Tech was not showing signs early on in his life, and early, I mean like kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and there was no genetics, like a mental health disorder that was brewing, then there was some kind of event that happened in this guy's life somewhere then after that triggered a lot of this that he didn't deal with. And then the bomb goes off eventually. That's the problem, that there's something cooking inside that nobody's taken a look at, or they are, but they're either not identifying it, or it's too upsetting, or it's too overwhelming, and they push it off and push it off, but he blows eventually. So that's the red flag that somebody should see that's not connected, you know, that's in the family. The outside red flags that you're looking for is when you meet new people and you see that there's that one person who has to go and take power from the conversation, whether it's a one-on-one conversation or it's a group, you're seeing somebody who's got to put somebody down, whether it's through humor or whether it's through, you know, overt put-downs or critiques or whatever, but that's a red flag. Or somebody who doesn't want to be involved in the conversation, that's a red flag. And not just that conversation, but in general, you see them isolate and pull themselves back. That's a red flag. Somebody who's doing something that makes you go, that doesn't seem right, or that hurt, or that wasn't nice to say to that person. Those are the red flags you need to be looking at, because that's somebody who is circling mean and going to go into really angry at some point if they're not already. And they may not be showing that to you. You just may be seeing it in their behavior, and then they get tripped up and they go off.
Right. Yeah, I think with that situation, you know, people had reported him and ultimately no one did anything about it.
Right, and that's the problem. I mean, when people are reporting this stuff, they've got to hear it, and agencies, parents, whoever it's being reported to, have a responsibility to do something because, again, that's a red flag. You're given it. You're given an opportunity to jump in before it's too late.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the sad situation. These are really situations you can do something about when somebody's reporting something. But if you don't report, you don't get that chance, and things cook, and then they blow. So
yeah.
Red flags are the key, being able to see things like that. And it's not just about staying away from people who are mean or people who put you down or people who seem to victimize at someone else's expense. It's doing something about it as well, because someone's going to be exposed to that who's either going to be innocent enough not to see it, or it's going to come on top of them, and then they sometimes die from it. So, you know, getting this stuff early is the key. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to the phones. I think we have another caller. Joe.
Hey, Dr. Sophie.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
My problem is I got this kid, and he picks on my kid, beating him up after school. The school doesn't do nothing. What would you do?
Well, I'd be pretty angry. But what would I do? I would actually – have you talked to your kid about it?
Yeah, I talked to my kid, but he's a little bit of like a wuss. He don't want to do anything about it.
Well, why are you calling your kid a wuss?
Because he don't want to fight back.
Well, okay, so you're angry at your kid.
No, not angry. I'm angry at this other kid.
Yeah.
I want to go down there and break his leg.
Well, but we can't do that.
Well, you know what? I think that's what's wrong with America.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I get that. The issue is, though, you can't go through the society killing people because maybe you think they deserve it. There has to be a way to do it, though. That's the issue. And so I'm glad you called, but you got to be able to show your kid how to handle this stuff. So you got to be able to take a deep breath and figure out, why is your child afraid to step up and speak?
Well, this kid is big, that's why. And I didn't say kill him. I just say maybe cripple him.
Okay. Well, we won't have to go that far either. But I do hear what you're saying. Have you talked to school?
Yeah, I talked to the school.
They don't do anything.
They say they can't do nothing.
Why?
Because this kid's got special needs.
Okay, but that doesn't matter, because either he's being triggered and he needs medicine or he needs help, but they have a responsibility. Is it happening on their grounds at all?
Yeah.
Well, then they have a responsibility. Because it's as long as he's under their roof and their watch, then it has to be dealt with. So stay calm, and it should be dealt with. They have a process. You got to push them.
All right. Well, I'll give it a shot.
Yes, but be gentle.
Okay.
All right. Call me if you need me.
Okay.
Thanks. So we're talking about school violence today. We just had a caller call in, a dad, and I appreciate his anger. I understand how protective he is. But the issue for him is he's angry at his son, and he's angry at the other kid, because nobody's doing anything. His son won't step up and protect himself, and the other child is bullying, and the school is throwing up their hands saying, you know, he's got special needs, there's nothing we can do. But that's not true. If a child has special needs, then those needs need to be met, and that's the responsibility of a parent. That's the responsibility of a school, if that's the population that they serve. That's the responsibility of the mental health provider of that community. It's the responsibility of the doctor. We all as a community have to see these red flags and do something, because that boy who's being picked on and not stepping up for himself is getting angry, and it's going somewhere. Besides that, he's dealing with a dad who's angry because his son is being picked on and not stepping up for himself. So this kid's getting a lot of anger from a lot of places, and guess what? It's going inside. That's why I want to talk about red flags. All right, let's go to the phones. I think we have Emily.
Hi.
Hey, Emily, how are you? Thanks for calling.
I'm just wondering, if you know that there is some violence, even though it's maybe not that bad, but if you know that there's been some, you know, your kid has been hit or punched or whatever, and you go to the school because you're trying to teach your kids the right way to handle those situations, and
right.
You assume that the adults or the people in the school should help you out, if you're
right.
Not getting the right response from them, what do you think we should do?
Well, I definitely think you should be getting a response from the school. The school needs to be involved, because it takes a community to be able to change this behavior and the way people deal with it. So I think you need to go to the school. And if you don't feel like you're being heard, you have to keep going. And if you have to go higher, you go higher. If you have to go broader, you go broader. But there has to be a way that the school becomes engaged, but not because they're fearful of maybe a lawsuit or they're fearful of, you know, some retaliation by parents, but because they really care and they don't want this behavior to bleed across their school community. So that's the issue. So approaching the school in a manner that's a little bit more collaborative, because I think parents go at schools really expecting them to do something and step up and protect their child. But it's not just about protecting their child. It's about protecting the school community.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we have to keep our own emotions in check a little bit before we approach them.
Exactly, exactly.
And it is a little frustrating when you expect that they're going to, like, help you, and they don't really respond that way. So
right. It's not that they're not helping. They're not helping in the way that you expect the help, and that's why you got to get yourself in check, and that's what we're talking about today. Red flags for mom and dad, those times when early on you felt, ugh, this doesn't feel right when I'm hearing my kid going through something or watching my kid do something to somebody. Those red flags, those are the times to jump on something, not waiting until your kid is hit or hitting somebody else. But if you're there, do it in a collaborative way. That's how you're going to get the most out of it all.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
So we've been dealing with a lot of calls today, school violence, different avenues of bullying, being the bully, being the victim, being the parent, being the angry parent, frustrated with schools. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is know yourself, know how you think. Know how you feel, know how we're going to move forward as a community, know our red flags, and be able to reach and jump in before things get to a point where they're out of control. School violence, very scary, but definitely something that we can deal with. It is something that has been in our society for many, many centuries. It's just reaching levels beyond anyone having any control. And why is that is the question. And to me, I think it's because we're not seeing red flags early enough. We as families are upside down at times, and we're not focused where we need to be, which is with our children. We need to connect our heads with our hearts and see and hear our children and feel them and deal with things as we see them. Denial is not a place to go. Please listen to your children. Pay attention to the things that they're saying. Pay attention to the people that they're talking to. Pay attention to the people that they're dating. Pay attention to the parents of the people that they're dating. Know the kinds of families that your children's friends are coming from. And if you see red flags, please jump on it. Thank you to all my listeners today and really some really great callers for today's show. They were informative. They were insightful. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And at the end of the day, please remember to sweep yourself, sweep your life, sweep yourself, sweep your kids. Get yourself swept. And SWEEP is on my website, drsophie.com. Please learn how to sweep yourself. Do it on a regular basis. Keep yourself in balance. And again, to listen to the full version of Keep Your Head Up by Andy Grammer, you can download it on iTunes. Thank you.
Fine. Oh, you turn out fine. But you gotta keep your head up. Oh, and you can let your head down. Hey, you gotta keep your head up. Oh, and you can let your head down. Hey.